Blog Talk Radio.
Fuck you! No, fuck you! Come on!
What is your name?
Please, excuse me. Allow me to properly introduce myself. My name is Bray.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
How bored are you on a daily basis, Matt?
You have no idea.
I had different ways it was going to go there. I was just really confused. I'm like, how do I reply to this?
No,
I'm
well,
just saying, like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know why.
I just, what I imagined was,
you
when
were
I realized
The Rock on WWE
before
Network
I was,
today,
before
you?
I was even watching The Rock on WWE Network today and on YouTube, what happened was I just thought about it in my head. I thought, oh, the Usos are going to come out, you know, and the Wyatts, you know, so they're really good at promos and everything. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just imagined immediately trying to help out the Usos. It's The Rock. And then immediately Bray Wyatt is just, you know, trying to introduce, my name is Bray. It doesn't matter what your name is. So the second I thought about that, I just thought, well, it needs to be our opening for some reason.
I think what's funny is that there's a part of me that when you started the Bray Wyatt part, I thought it was Bo.
Yes. No, it is kind of funny because it was very low. So, and not to rhyme, it did sound like Bo. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it did. It was weird.
Yeah, I know. One day they'll be together.
They are siblings, so why not?
Yes,
but
still,
hey,
one day.
Main event, I'd like to drop any jobs that I'm doing right now and become S Shizzle.
Yeah. You know what's really amazing is that recently we've had so many debuts, and I'm wondering, I've been going through NXT on the network, I haven't seen D Shizzle or Sherlock Holmes. But still, though, I really do, you know, whoever they are, I enjoy them.
Which is doubly bad on me. Because, like, I watch NXT weekly, you know, and,
yeah.
and this guy is just, these two guys have flown over my head, and I feel kind
of
bad.
I mean, even Davy Crockett, you know, they should become a stable, honestly.
I mean,
they
I'm assuming
become...
Davy Crockett was some kind of local guy, because, you know, and even Sherlock Holmes, but just D-Shizzle was, I mean, I don't know, seems like a good character, though. So far, I mean,
oh, yeah.
he's a hit for me.
Most definitely. I mean, the way he went off on R-Truth, I mean, the rhymes that he said. We're just plain old rhymey.
What?
I don't know. Either way, Damian Sandow said what he does.
Did you
the
say
rhymes, the
rhymes his
were
rhymes
rhymey.
Were rhymey?
I don't. How do you describe what he said? How do you describe
good?
Everything that man said? Better than good? Perfect? Better than perfect? Somewhere
yeah,
along those lines.
Yeah, he gets roll-up wins now.
Yeah.
I have Damian Sandow's quote for word-for-word rap, so we'll get to that when we get to Damian Sandow.
Thank you. But,
Curtis Axel and Cody Rhodes. I'm sure this bothered you, and I don't blame you. So, please, go.
The reason, okay, so let's, first off, before we even get to that, I would like to say overall, as an overall thing, I am a huge fan of the commentary on Main Event. And I know we've said this a bit, you know, on and off, but I just have to say I'm a really big fan. I mean, the fact that they were calling moves and it was just a nice balance between let's poke fun at each other and in the ring, but not seem as if we're ready to kill each other at a moment's notice.
Yeah, it definitely was something for me where I remember in the beginning when we started watching Main Event more frequently, because post WrestleMania they started advertising stuff for Main Event.
Yeah.
1 or 2 weeks, it was just like, you know, commentary was very good. And... it's become a thing now where I almost take it for granted, where I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Commentary is good, and I just accept it. Those guys are good at what they do.
Yeah.
Which is great, because right now the main guys are not.
I mean, we'll blame Vince, but still, yeah, the main guys are not.
No. So it's
Anywho.
Good to see these young guys working hard.
Right. So, but yeah, the match wasn't bad. It's just that the end made me really upset, because here's the thing about the end here. See, the end... it's not, the problem isn't that Axel won anything, because honestly, Axel can win things sometimes, that's not an issue. The fact is that he won over Cody when they made him look really, he looked really good last night in that match. He lost it, and I understand why two heels would make fun of him. But this should be his redemption match. Up until even if he gets a redemption match and then gets 2-on-1 by Ryback and Axel, and then Cody looks at Goldust like, why didn't you help me? That could be a way to further the storyline. If you still want to further that,
I don't know what they think they're doing with Cody Rhodes. I don't, because I'm so utterly confused where every time they make it seem like they're teasing this Rhodes Brothers breakup angle, which should have been done a long time ago anyway.
But if it is, just many
go
in the
back,
bank,
to, we just go back to them being faces again. And I'm just confused because when we're doing this, Cody is continuously eating pins. And, I mean, why? What are they doing? Cody has a future. He doesn't suck. I don't get it. I really don't. It's really frustrating me because
it wasn't a bad match.
And I'm not really against Curtis Axel getting wins because I don't hate Curtis Axel.
No.
Cody Rhodes keeps getting pinned for things. And
yeah, it's just a huge
24 hours ago. You televised him as strong.
Yeah, and I would also like to add, it's just, I've said this before, I don't remember on which account, either our older Spreaker or on our newer Blog Talk Radio, but I would like to say
that... Yeah, we do have a Spreaker, guys.
We do, but it's old. So you can, if you want to watch our old things, we're better now, everyone, we swear. But seriously, though, I feel as if everyone in the back, who is obviously, when you're in the back, when you're working, you aren't 25, you know? There are some people who are probably really young, maybe even younger than Cody a bit, because Cody is under 30, but he isn't, you know, he's about 27, I believe. So point is this. A lot of the guys are in the back. They probably knew him as a kid. I just have this really strange feeling that they're booking him this way because they don't see him as anything else other than that little baby boy, that little kid. Where it's just Cody's not a little kid anymore. He's actually been on the roster for a very long time now. And
yeah,
it's
funny because Maddie has mentioned that we talk about Cody like he's old. It's not that he's old. It's just he's been around for a while.
Yeah, he's under 30, but he's been around for so long. It would be as if, you know, let's say Paige, you know, has her, and I'm sorry to say this, Paige has her run, and then by 27, she's really on a, you know, like downhill and everything. And even then, let's say, like, Cody's never really had a chance at the top, where technically Paige is at the top of her card right now. But if she never got that shot, and then basically never, ever got the chance, you would think, but why? She isn't old. She started off at 21, around the same, you know, Cody started off very young as well, so did Randy Orton. But Randy Orton's made that jump. Paige has made that jump. Why hasn't Cody Rhodes? And that's
it's
kind
funny
of
that you mentioned
angry.
Randy Orton because at one point Cody Rhodes was Randy Orton's lackey.
Yeah.
So we've come to that point where it's like Rhodes has really never been given a shot, and we all assumed that there was going to be a big breakout from after this Rhodes Brothers angle, which they were doing great work, that he would then get his little push to at least the upper mid card.
Yeah.
But nothing. I mean, I don't know. I like Cody Rhodes, so it kind of bothers me.
No, it does, and I think the thing is, yes, they're trying to push a Cody Rhodes heel turn, obviously, but this is so slow that I've mentioned this before, definitely, the only way this will benefit anyone is 10 years from now when they're showing the video clips and the kids and us, because we probably would have forgotten by then, would have thought, yeah, that rivalry was cool because they only showed a few clips of a few things that were really strong about it. And we'll forget that almost full year, you know, those 3 months, those 4, 5, 6 months where they did nothing.
And it'll be funny because when we look back at those clips, we'll get one from, let's say, like February, the first week of February. Be like, wow, that was a good moment. The next moment will be in the middle of April, but they'll make it seem like it happened the next week.
Exactly.
And I'll be so furious at them because we'll be like, wow, was that a good angle? And you'll hear the old-timers like us at the time. No, they completely fucked that one up, actually.
Basically, yeah, because I understand maybe not doing it a payback. Yes, the card does already seem full, but Money in the Bank needs to be the one. Even if, let's say, and it would be a nice little twist, how Sandow technically turned on Cody at Money in the Bank, it would be nice if Cody turned on Goldust at Money in the Bank.
I don't know,
if
because it's just... Maybe?
In a Money in the Bank match.
Maybe,
if that's the
because
way,
Money
yeah.
in the Bank matches are fun, and that makes sense, yes?
Yes.
But it just infuriates me because I let them get a pass on WrestleMania because of the fact that WrestleMania was a crowded and effective card. But they could have fit it in for Extreme Rules. They could have fit it in for Payback because we don't have a top championship match, you know?
Yes.
So, obviously, they don't know what the fuck they're doing at this point. And it bothers me because I know we're harping on this. But it's main event. I mean, we can spend some time talking about this stuff.
Well, the reason why we're harping on this is because this is a man's career who isn't bad in the ring. He does have some charisma and honestly...
Righto.
And also the fact that he's so young where... Again, I feel like some people think he's green in the back, where it's like, no. He's, you know, there's a point where the words green versus veteran are meant to be flipped, where the way their treatment is, where it's like, you know, no, not only is Cody not as green as you might think he is, but he deserves the wins because he's faster and freaking stronger. You know, it's not as if we're talking about Adam Rose versus Goldust here. We're talking, although Adam Rose is old, but still, new guy to the roster, mind you. We're not talking about, you know, a newer person, you know, let's say Adrian Neville, let's say, who's definitely, you know, very young, I would say, or Bo Dallas. Not them versus Goldust, you know? This is, and even then, Goldust doesn't really deserve the win because, again, he's getting older. He's older. I don't understand why, for some reason, in the back, they don't really understand that older means slower, you know?
Yeah, and to piggyback off that, it's interesting because of two things. One, when we talk about Cody Rhodes, it's not like when I have my tangents and I talk about Yoshitatsu or Justin Gabriel. Because those are like sleeper guys who've never gotten a chance. Cody's gotten a chance, but not a chance at the top, which is the issue. Because it's almost worse. Because with Yoshi and Justin Gabriel, the casual fan doesn't know who the hell they are. And that's okay. I understand that. With Cody, most people know who he is, and they basically have this idea set in their head that, oh, that's all he's going to be. But he hasn't been given a chance to be more. So it sucks. Really?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to see. Also, one thing I'm going to look up is that, because you mentioned Adam Rose and him being, he's like 34, 35. I know we've talked about
this.
One thing I'm going to bring up that I think is intriguing, the thought just crossed my head. Rose is probably going to win on Sunday.
Yes.
And if Rose wins, I'm going to look back at Cody Rhodes' records these last few months and such. And I'm going to check not only the last time that he's had a pinfall victory, because that's not too far ago, but a pinfall victory at a pay-per-view.
Aha. That would be interesting.
Because, not that I don't like Adam Rose, we all know that I love him. I just want to see, very subtly. Like, because if they haven't, if he hasn't won a pay-per-view match in like 6-7 months.
Yeah. It's the only reason why I went silent is because, and this is just, I'm hoping I'm kidding. I'm hoping my brain is kidding itself. My only thought was, Cody Rhodes and Goldust against The Shield?
Yeah, because that was the first thing that came to mind. And I know that they were tag champions for a couple months, so it can't have been that far back.
No.
It might be about, like, 5 months.
Yeah, which is an issue when you weekly episodic television show,
issue, you know, when it's Cody Rhodes, who is supposed to be part of your future. If even as a successful upper mid-carder, like, let's say the Alberto Del Rio, what he's been doing for the last, not in terms of character, but in terms of card positioning for the last few years, upper mid-card, worked with some WWE championship runs, I think one of them, worked with world heavyweight title runs, which was a big thing for him. You know, like, that's a versatile kind of guy that you could use. And Cody could be that guy, if only because he's also improved from when I first saw him. I was not that impressed when I first saw Cody Rhodes. And over the years, he's managed to turn me into somebody that appreciates him and thinks he's very talented. And I guess that's what bothers me more, is because I've seen the growth, but I haven't seen the movement up the card the way that I thought it would coincide with said improvement in the ring.
Yeah. It's just, well, but let us move on. I mean, what else can we say? It's not as if they're listening to us, right? It would be nice.
I can tell you what we will say. I can tell you something we say. I roll with the sinners, but I'm praised like a saint. And when that bell rings, I go hard in the paint. When fools try to step, I get to tossing. My teeth are clean, but I still be flossing. Thuggers live until the end. Tell a friend. That's what we say.
I'm a fan of Sheamus versus Wade Barrett on SmackDown. I'm good for that. I'm down.
Word.
Yeah. Honestly, what I have to say is what I enjoy is that, and I don't know if they meant to do this through R-Truth, but I like that he mentioned identity crisis, where as if you could say, like, Sandow's having, like, that midlife crisis thing where it's like, who am I? What do I want to be? And that's why he's just been these people.
I love that Damian Sandow doesn't have anything less than 120%.
Yeah,
I really love that about the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly feel like years from now, I am going to think back and talk about him the way I talk about, like, Scotty Juhadi, where it's like, yeah, that wasn't the Daniel Bryan of the era, but damn, I liked him. You know?
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And I know that Damian Sandow, he's putting in work. He's doing whatever the hell they're asking him to, and much respect for that. And not half-assing it. I mean, it's just, I could go on about how much I respect him for doing what
yeah.
he does, and he is very good at it, so nobody
and,
can blame me.
You know, and we talked about this, you know, they can easily, you know, eventually twist him up in a way, twist this up, twist what he's doing, and use it to his advantage, not, again, to shoot him up to, you know, yes movement or anything, but it just in a way that could easily give him either heat or give him some, you know, some face chance.
Yeah, he's gonna get some baby. He's gonna get some babyface heat behind him. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm gonna love when it happens. I really.
Oh
am.
Yeah,
because
and of course,
it.
And R-Truth. You know, I'm a big fan of R-Truth.
R-Truth
being on
I
television.
I've said this before on air.
Yeah.
Is probably my favorite mid-carder because.
Oh yeah.
The man can go in the ring. He dedicates himself to his ridiculously racist and stupid character.
Yeah.
And is still likable. Like, it's just, he's a likable guy that you can throw out at any time. You can pair him with younger kids like Xavier Woods. You can have him win matches. You can put him in gauntlet, you know, like, beat the clock matches for the,
yeah.
the mid-card titles.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah.
like, King of the Ring tournaments to lose in the first round. Like, he just, R-Truth, Ron the Truth Killings. It's a good
yeah.
man right there.
He really is. And, you know, and, what I was going to say. Also, just the fact that it was such a great pairing, I think. Just these two guys.
Oh, it worked. These are two guys that are underappreciated at what they do.
Yeah. And also, the one thing I do find confusing is that they've been doing this on the network. And I, again, yes, get people to watch your network. But obviously, it's just very strange because, you know, they're putting a lot of... I will say that this may have had more work put into it than the main event. They put work into it, and it's just strange to feel as if not as many people are going to see it.
No, and I mean, I don't know either. I don't know how many
yeah.
people are going to watch the main event. And that segment that went on tonight, right, in terms
yeah.
of R-Truth and Damian Sandow,
yeah.
that could easily have been a couple minutes on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And again, not saying the Davy Crockett thing bothered me because I thought it was cool, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
like, that was a pretty good segment. I feel like they don't need to because it's a weird complaint on my behalf because
yes.
I want main event to be watchable, but I want it to be watchable in a different sense because that's a Raw level segment, and then we had a main event that was, I'm going to say, lackluster in certain ways. And I think
yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean, Matt.
Of course,
so,
of course.
Arguably, for me, you know, that main event, that kind of stuff is going to be the big thing for a show named Main Event. And it's just weird for me because I thought this was a good segment. You could have used that on Raw next week, and it would have been fine.
Yeah. It's and, I mean, I will admit, it would be nice to have something with him on SmackDown. Though it would be very interesting to have the crowd see him do that and then immediately, an hour and a half later, bust out a different costume. But hey, it's wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if the Usos and the Wyatt.
I wonder when they're going to run out, honestly.
Run out of costumes?
Of ideas.
Oh, if they're technically infinite, you could have him do anything, which is kind of scary. He can be a clown. You know, he can be anything.
He's Doink the Clown next week on Monday.
How great would that be? Honestly, I think we need Doink the Clown running through.
I would love
the
it only
again.
Because he's like, I was always Doink. Suddenly
no, I want Doink the Clown to run around and for people to say, Sandow, what are you doing? Sandow, take off the, you know, the costume, like backstage. Take it off, Sandow. Just get rid of it. Sandow walks by. What are you talking about?
And the funny thing is this is great because multiple people have been Doink the Clown over history. And I know you know
yes.
that too.
Yes,
which is why
yes,
that's
yes.
even funnier. Because you
yes.
could ideally have three Doink the Clowns and it wouldn't be wrong because they would all be Doink the Clown.
Believe
and then you have
Doink.
Zack Ryder, who is today's Doink the Clown. And
yes.
it would just be interesting with Zack Ryder as Doink the Clown, or three Doink the Clowns from before, and then Justin Gabriel in the bunny suit.
Are we talking about a Doink stable? Are we having a Doink the Clown stable?
Well,
just
led by Adam Rose, who, you know, this crazy party that he creates is actually a cult. He and Bray Wyatt are the future of WWE.
All I know is he better be in 2015. I don't know if they've already made the roster or not, but they better at least put his entrance in. I'll say that much.
Who are we talking about? Adam Rose?
Adam Rose, yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dwight the Clown. I was like, yeah, Doink will probably be in there. But
well, he probably would. Not only will Doink the fucking Clown be in there, here's my F word for the night, because here's why. Not only will we have Doink the Clown normal, we'll have Doink the Clown Chris Jericho and the two other forms. Mind you, not as alternate costumes, as character slots. Reducing other characters we could have had.
Hey, the roster for WWE 15 hasn't been released yet. Hold your F-bombs, man.
All I'm trying to say is that it's going to happen again unless they found a way to make the tech a little bit better. It's going to happen again where it's going to take up character slots. I believe we had three John Cenas for no. We may
the
have had three
is,
John Cenas.
We don't need to bother getting 14.
Well, I would still like to get it for
I
us.
Don't like
if
you.
It's cheap. If it's cheap, I would like to.
Cheap
I don't
is
know.
$5 to me. So.
Well, fair enough. But anyway, moving forward, so we had,
Dish being poor.
Yeah. It's okay. We're all poor on the inside.
Listen to our podcast. I need this to survive. No.
Yeah.
But
he's not even home right now. He's using a payphone. Brie versus Natalya. Honestly, I think Brie has improved a lot. I wasn't angry at this match. Unless maybe I wasn't paying as much attention, I don't remember crazy botches.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't see it either.
So as I'm saying, I feel as if this was a solid match between Brie and Natalya. And Brie losing was an actual good booking decision. I was okay. I was happy with that.
Oh, it made sense, if only because she's stressed. How can she win a match right now? Her
yeah,
career.
That's the thing. Not only is she stressed, but it makes Natalya look strong for a takeover.
Right, because she has to be wrestling Charlotte Flair?
Yes.
Thursday
yeah,
night.
For the title. Yeah.
Thursday night.
At 8.
At 8. NXT TakeOver. Watch it. Should be fun. Tyson Kidd versus Adrian Neville is the main event, right?
On the network. Yeah, Tyson Kidd makes me feel like he's the Doink the Clown.
You know why that's awesome?
What?
Because CM Punk has mentioned Tyson Kidd by name as someone who doesn't get crap thrown his way. And I know
yeah.
this is just NXT TakeOver, but thank God Tyson Kidd's getting somewhat of a thing to do. Because he is good at what he freaking does.
I know, and it's
don't
it's
fail
just very...
me on Thursday night, Tyson Kidd. I just gave you a glowing endorsement.
He does 5 botches that involve tripping over his own boot lace. He just it's unlaced for some reason. He trips right over it.
He's not even wearing boots, and he trips on his bootlaces.
Yes. He slips on his own oil, like his own sweat that's currently on the ring because, he was thrown down to the mat. He slips on that like a freaking banana peel.
But if you put that to the Benny Hill theme, everything works perfectly
yeah.
for some reason.
And by the way, by doing that, he's now injured yet again.
Damn it.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd has currently injured himself. Yeah. That would be an amazing article. Just the title, Tyson Kidd injured himself because of himself.
Well, X-Pac has ripped his own asshole, so I don't think you can actually top that.
Yeah, but that was because of China. But anyway, so moving forward, let's see this right here. Made Natalya look stronger, made sense. Brie didn't look bad during the match.
Righto.
And, Uso promo. I like their promo, because I think they're funny. I think they're actually, actual charismatic guys. Like, they actually, enjoy what they do for a living. Unlike some people where you'll have, let's say, Brie or Nikki look as if they hate being there, even though I'm sure they like being there. But it looks like they hate it sometimes with their acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy that it looked as if, the Usos enjoyed what they were doing. And I didn't like that they kind of implied, that you can't be family unless you're blood. Sort of, but I guess they were trying to make it more like, these guys are a cult, guys.
Yeah, I the intent was there. In practice, mm-hmm. it didn't work as well as I hoped it would either. But yeah, you described it well, because you can be family without there being blood. But
yeah.
what that's not what they were trying to say. What they needed to basically harp on was just,
mm-hmm.
That's a cult. They're not even a family by like any means.
Yeah.
And I like their promo, if only because of the response we got later.
Oh, yes. Also, by the way, you should be very happy with me. We've said harp a few times during this podcast, and I have yet to make a Harper joke.
I know. I cringe every time I say harp.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy that I do that to you. But anyway, so, yeah, and then
after
my response will be gotten
later. Kidding me?
That's great. Oh, please listen to our Monday Night Raw recap if you want to see my cheesy jokes and Satish Ram stab himself. You can't actually see it, but you can hear it in his voice.
Oh, yeah, you can hear me die on live radio.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I know live radio is not that big a thing, but honestly, listening to a man pretty much die on air, I think that's worth an archive listen, don't you, Matt?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's Undertaker right now, aren't you?
Actually, I'm Bray Wyatt. I'll be speaking in tongues later on. But on the other side, where you can't, you know, hear me.
WWE. I'm a big fan of Santino. I want Santino to speak in tongues, because it sounds like he's always speaking in tongues. So I want
You're
to see...
You're a horrible, horrible man.
So I want to see if Santino is like, Santino's having a seizure.
Hello, everyone. My name is Santino Marella. I'm currently the...
but seriously, though. Yeah, and then we had Bray's response, which was... And, of course, Harper's response, which was
well,
amazing.
Well, Harper's response, which was... Yeah, that was one of the highlights of the night for me, where I just...
Yeah.
Harper is so good at everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it at first. I'm going to admit that. Like, people were telling me, because I was in love with Bray. And Rowan and Harper were there for me, and I was like, yeah, these guys are cool at what they do. But as the weeks go on, I'm really starting to believe in Harper as, like, one of those cogs of the future kind of guy, where you look at him and it's like, he can go in the ring. He's really good pretty much at everything. And he certainly has the look of somebody who could be a threatening. Like, it reminds me of a non-asshole, terrible Kevin Nash.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's got size, he's got more agility than I think Nash used to have. You know, promo skill and, like, charisma. I think it'll work.
Yeah, well, I don't want there to be any kind of, you know, Wyatt family breakup or distortion. If for some reason Luke Harper had to be off of television... and had to be repackaged, it wouldn't be an issue at all.
I agree. That's what that's because I don't want them to break up either. I love what they're doing right now.
No.
And extended heel runs are cool as factions and stables.
Yes.
It's interesting because I think it may have been Gino on Cageside Seats who mentioned in his Raw recap post that he almost feels like this Bray Cena thing should have been left after Bray had, like, infected more of the people. And it's true, because I really wanted to see the Wyatts run rampant for a bit. But if he beats John Cena, all of that will be forgiven. I just don't know if he will. I don't really...
Well, the thing is, I think what's delicate is not when he wins, it's how he loses and the aftermath, because I think Bray Wyatt can still run around being like a delicious joker, you know, just like doing his little dastardly schemes and things. The only issue becomes, which WWE has never really cared about, John Cena beat him, and then he moves on, and then John Cena stops caring. Regardless of who the Wyatts mess with, even if it's back to R-Truth, back to like their debut, even just, you know, going boo to R-Truth and going, you're not the truth, and then John Cena doing nothing is very bad, but it's probably something they would do.
Even in how he wins, because as we talked about, the cage match was utter shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because
of the fact
that
again.
He won, but he didn't really win.
No. And by the way, I would like to add, you know, I will use shit tonight as well, because it's main event. Why not? How shit was Little Jimmy? Little Johnny. How bad was that? Now, I'm not saying it's bad. You're not saying it's bad. Hear me out. You're not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad. WWE might disagree with us. They don't have him on anymore. I wonder what that says. I wonder what that says when the company that I think somewhere someone thought we can keep Little Johnny going for a while had him stop.
I don't know. I don't get
it. Yeah, and by the way, I did like, okay, here's the thing. I didn't like that Little Johnny was what won the match. I did like that Little Johnny was Little Johnny, though. The only thing that I didn't like is that there's always one guy, and he hasn't been fired yet. Or she. I shouldn't be sexist. This person hasn't been fired yet, and they should. They're the ones that think, if someone's going to be demonic and creepy, we need to do that thing.
The voice change thing?
That echo. For some reason, that person hasn't been fired, even though when Kane did it against The Undertaker a couple years back, and currently we have, you know, little Johnny doing it, it's just so aggravating because, honestly, like, they don't understand. While voice change can be creepy, they don't understand that the, okay, if someone's little, like, a little tiny kid came up to you and was like, I want to see your insides, you're like, what the hell? You know? But if it's like, I want to see your insides, how'd you do that with your voice?
All right, well, okay. Like, Here's one thing that I will give them on that segment, by the way.
Hmm.
Or that Lily usage of the voice changer.
Right.
I'm 90% sure that wasn't for us.
Well, I mean,
like,
the thing is,
because
to
us,
yeah,
if a kid comes up to you and says, I want to see your insides, Matt, you'd freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But to kids, I think if they hear their own voices, they're not threatened. But, you know, they're scared of, like, the boogeyman and things like that.
You know what,
so
I would have done, though? Okay, even though it's harder to do because he is a little kid, if you would have gotten someone who was actually good, let's say, like, because the kid wasn't good as an actor, right? If you had actually gotten an actual, like, a good actor, I would have been okay with The Exorcist.
Okay.
Yeah,
see,
that
I think is above their realm of thinking, though. Because
yes, of course, yes.
That's
clearly
turning it up to 11. And they don't frequently turn it up to 11.
It's just upsetting because they could have gotten anyone on the roster to do a creepy voice. Because that's the thing. All it takes is one of them in a recording room or whatever, or standing near a microphone, to, you know, before the show or whatever, even right before the show, which is kind of funny, to just sit there and just be like, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. Like, just something like, whoa! Like, what are, like, something that makes the kids go, Mommy, I'm scared. Where that was just, I guess maybe it scared some kids, but I feel as if, I don't know, I feel as if I can show that to children, and they'll be like, huh. You know, like, huh. Because
I think more of children than I do. But there are two things for me that I would have enjoyed. See, if it was Bray Wyatt's voice coming from that kid, I would have loved it. I don't know if you would.
Oh, my God.
But for me,
that would have been frightening.
That would have been great for me. Just, you know, have Bray record the line beforehand, or just take one of his original voice clips of saying it, and just as soon as you put the microphone to him, you just hear Bray say it, but the kid's obviously mouthing it. Immediately that would mess with me, if they did it right, because I'd be like, okay, Bray's possessed the young child.
The kid had long hair, right? He had a speaker in his ear, like, but he wasn't doing it right, so he wasn't mouthing it the right way. It was like, you know, it was dubbed poorly. So they're like, just spaz out while you're having a seizure, and then the kid just like starts having like a convulsion. Just immediately, we're just like, oh my God!
The announcer didn't know what's going on. Bray says he's got the whole world in his hands. The kid mouths, "I love you, John Cena. You're my hero." But you know what else would have been creepy, too?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Bray had run roughshod through the roster for a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And off the top of my head, Xavier Woods, R-Truth, 3MB, Zack Ryder even, right?
Yeah.
And maybe someone like Kofi Kingston or Alberto Del Rio, I don't know, like one of those random guys. He had beaten these guys and converted him.
Right.
So when Bray comes to the ring for the match, they're all following him like zombies.
Oh, yeah, that would have been nice. Also,
like,
by the way, to anyone who wants to call and talk to us, since we're pretty much nearing the end of main event and we're moving on to rumors or whatever, please, 718-664-9468. The number is 718-664-9468. We'll be talking about, you know, rumors and a bunch of other stuff. But, go on.
Fun ones to touch on, actually, after main event. So I'm willing to go there. But so let's get this main event out of the way, if you don't mind.
No, so we have, you know, Usos versus Wyatts, which is not a bad match at all. It was not a bad match. No, I just don't think it needs to be done so soon. I think the problem is that they do a lot of things a lot closer together than they think.
Right.
So it feels as if it's just replayed. I mean, technically, while I said I was down for, you know, Barrett versus Sheamus, we technically already just had that to give Barrett the title, because it was in the tournament.
So
that's the thing, where it's just, now they're both champions, but that hasn't really changed anything anywhere. Like, you know, it's not like giving them the championship gave them a new finisher or gave them a new style in the ring. Sheamus is still a face who likes to kick people, apparently, a lot of people. And, you know, Barrett is a heel. So nothing has really changed on either one of their – I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be – something's going to happen in the middle of the match, you know, obviously. But still, as a match to be, you know, to be advertised, it already happened fairly recently, mind you.
Yeah, I just – I don't know. It's kind of a meh thing for me because I'm not going to dislike the match because they're pretty good. I just
– Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't get me excited is
and
what.
And that's the thing, yeah.
And to be fair, the Usos and the Wyatts didn't particularly get me excited either because
no.
It wasn't new.
Yeah, and that's the problem right there, and that's your main event where it's not only is it a tag team match that isn't for the titles because at least – you could have had, you know, the Usos maybe get a clean win off the Wyatts, and then the Wyatts wanting to maybe re-challenge them at, you know, Payback or something. It's actually a match between the two teams hasn't even been confirmed for Payback, has it?
No, and I don't think it will.
I guess not. Because we need
it would be good.
Better.
Because hey, tag team titles, right? I mean, if you're not going to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, right? Might as well go balls in. And give me every championship defended on the card.
Yeah. It's just, and by the way, because my mind isn't all there right now, Sheamus also isn't getting a shot, right? Anything. Like, Sheamus isn't putting his title on the line, is he?
He's facing Cesaro.
Cesaro. Oh, right, for the title, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, my mind is shot.
No,
it's
okay, dude.
So it's those two against, you know, those two against each other.
Yeah, I mean,
Wade Barrett and RVD.
I'm melting right now.
As
I am literally melting.
Wade Barrett and RVD for the Intercontinental, because that's a smart decision. Adam Rose versus Jack Swagger. And we have the pre-show, which is easily skippable. And that's what we're looking at.
Mask versus hair. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is
so
funny
rumors.
Because he doesn't so rumors. Before a rumor, just a funny little thing. Did you see that segment with Renee Young and Evolution?
With her feet?
Out of context, that sounds strange, but yes, everyone, with her feet. Would you like to explain it?
With her feet.
Yes, with her feet.
No, that covers it. Renee was barefoot.
Right. But it wasn't noticeable. Because, obviously, you know, the camera isn't looking at
her. The camera doesn't focus
on
Renee's feet unless we have
reason,
a creeper behind the camera.
Yes. And it's strange because I assume she doesn't do this all the time. Maybe she does, and Triple H was joking around because it's backstage or something. Or, for all I know, he may have thought it could have been cut out because not saying that he's Vince McMahon level of, you know, old, but for all we know, he could have thought it was like a WWE.com thing. I don't know. Because from the looks of it, it looked like he just came out of, you know, the contract signing. So he comes out, and he gives a really tough answer, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, don't bring pens to a, you know, sledgehammer fight, you know. Like, oh, yeah, everything's tough and strong. And then as he's finishing the interview, as he's walking away, he just looks at Renee and goes, and why don't you ever do these with any shoes on? And then walks away, and she's like, I have no response to that. And the camera pans down, and she just doesn't have shoes on. She's just barefoot out there.
Renee is actually normally bottomless for these interviews, which is why we think she's so good at what she does.
I wouldn't know. I guess so, because but what I like is Triple H didn't say it in a way where I'm going to speak to you and you're going to be fired in the morning. He said it in a way where it was just, this is hilarious. I'm going to poke fun at this because I'm a dick, but a funny dick, but...
Yeah, no, that felt like a me thing.
Yeah, that felt like, something you would do, where it's all for fun and games, but it's interesting in the sense that, from looks of it, because it was on the internet, that was live on the network.
A lot of
and
things were on the internet.
By the way,
the
it's live on the network.
Is forever.
Yeah, but you can tell that it's live on the network, by the way, because it cuts to the panel, and you have Grisham trying to get everything in order, but you just have Alex Riley dying, and Santino just cuts in. Alex Riley's dying, so literally laughing so hard, you think he peed himself. You don't know if he's bottomless under. He peed himself, and then you just have Santino saying, "She's a hippie. She's a hippie.
She could be, and she will be hosting the pre-show on Sunday along with." Christian, Paul Heyman, and I can't remember who else.
I want to say Cesaro.
But he's in a match.
But he's with Heyman, I believe.
No, I don't think
so. The point is that's a pretty damn good dais, I have to say. Paul Heyman, Renee, Christian, And I
I'll give you three guesses as to what Paul Heyman's going to be talking about on the day.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how he's going to do it, but God, I know it's going to happen. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and switching over to rumors for a bit, by the way, because I know we've got some time to kill on today's podcast,
yeah,
this main event.
Yeah.
One of the ones I wanted to talk about, and I'm sure
mm-hmm.
you would as well, is you heard about Sabu's recent health update.
Ah, poor guy.
Yeah, so Sabu apparently has broken a few more bones, and
yeah.
doctors have basically told him, you need to retire. And this is, and Sabu, you know, being Sabu, doesn't want to retire, which is insane.
Yeah.
And I hope that anyone out there listening to us right now is aware of, you know, what I mean when I say these things, because if you know who Sabu is, then you
yeah.
understand.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you know
who he is, you'll understand. If you don't,
please look him up and you'll understand.
Yeah, no, and I say that with the utmost respect, because
yeah.
the bumps that this man, I mean, second to Mick Foley maybe in my head, and arguably almost up there with him in a way,
yeah.
The bumps that he took were absolutely insane, and continues to take in some places. The man is a freak of nature, an incredible athlete, incredibly durable in terms of these crazy things, incredibly crazy to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
He puts on incredible matches by doing some very crazy bumps and stunts, and it's just, here's the thing about with him, like the Mick Foley versus Sabu comparison, too. Sabu's a better athlete, so
his matches
were a bit more crazy, and his bumps, in a way, were a bit more crazy. Not in terms of, like, you know, he didn't get thrown off a cell like Foley, but he put his body on the line for years.
Yeah.
And it's weird for me to talk about him retiring, because I want him to have a future. You know, I don't want to hear, like, Sabu retires and then, like, dies a year later or is, like, crippled for life. Because
then
I feel bad about enjoying his work.
Is that, you know, the fact that they said Sabu is still not retired, that sentence is a weird one for me. What do you mean he still hasn't retired?
Right.
How old is Sabu? I mean, he looks like he's 80. I don't know how old he is off the top of my head.
Yeah, as we move on to anything else, I mean, I'm going to look that up for you, actually, because
thank you.
I'm curious myself now, because it just hit me again. Like, yeah, why isn't Sabu retired?
Yeah. And while you're looking that up, I would like to mention, well, this isn't a rumor, it's still pretty interesting. TNA announces August Impact tapings in New York City. We're in New York City. And also, by the way, I'll tell you something. As you know, I'm going on the SummerSlam Heatwave tour. $95 for tickets that aren't even, like, you know, they're not that far away, but they obviously aren't in, like, you know, around the ring. Guess how much TNA tickets are next to the ring?
Go for it.
$75.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly, I think we should go. Do you want to know why I think we should go?
Entertain me.
I was going to donate my money to orphans, but honestly, after weighing out both options, I think TNA might need it more.
Sabu, by the way, apparently.
Listen to my argument. Think about it. Orphans have a roof over their head, and they get fed, and eventually they can have a bright future ahead of them. They can. They have the option for that. TNA, on the other hand, they don't know where they're going to be living for the next, you know, for a long time. They don't know. At least as of right now, they don't know. Their employees, from what I last heard, are paid in either weed or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I don't believe that's a rumor. It might kind of go along with the rumors, but I'm pretty sure they're paid in either marijuana or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And the third is the fact that I don't think anyone, including TNA, sees a future for them. So honestly, when you think about it, I think TNA might be worth more, to kind of invest money in than the orphans. Because, I mean, look at the poor little guys.
If you're going to get me to pay for any wrestling promotion that isn't WWE, it's going to be when Ring of Honor spills into
Ring of Honor,
the Brooklyn Cyclones home field.
Oh, yeah.
If only because, you know, for those of you who don't know me outside of the podcast, I frequent the Brooklyn Cyclones anyway because
yeah.
I used to cover minor league baseball. And so this is something for me where it's like the best of two worlds, where I love the stadium, I love the area, and I get to go see Ring of Honor. TNA, I don't want to pay them anymore because they let go of Christopher Daniels, one of my favorite guys that was actually in TNA, versatile, entertaining superstar. He's in Ring of Honor now, and he's going to be there when they perform. TNA has lost it for me. I'm not paying them. I mean, honestly, if it was like $15 for a front row seat and it got that bad, I'd probably go.
I was surprised that it wasn't $15. But I still have to say, though, $75 for a front row seat. And mind you, I did mention they were tapings.
Yeah, so that's really
sad.
That's not much.
That's sad, actually.
At all.
Yeah.
I don't even think all of those will sell out either, which is what I almost feel bad for them about, I guess.
Which is why, in a weird way, I want to go. What if they start giving me deals? Like, what if they start to say, okay, how about 50?
You know what? We should try to get TNA to sponsor us.
I don't want that. I don't want that in any way. I'm actually nervous. What if TNA endorses us? That's what I get scared about at night. When I have nightmares, the nightmares are if people like Vince Russo and everyone else on TNA Creative goes, wow, these guys are amazing. We should definitely talk about them.
What if Dixie Carter just calls you?
Oh, my God. Well, first off, it'd be really funny because I would think, who is this old lady? Like, it sounds like my aunt. And then I'd realize after she said her name, hello, my name is Dixie Carter. Oh, that's you, because I've never heard her voice, because I've never cared. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I've seen TNA.
That'd be the worst
recently.
Thing. Hi, my name is Dixie Carter, president of TNA. Well, that's what you sound like. You know, I've been wondering all these years. She's had dozens of on-screen segments, including a stint when she was a regular character weekly. That's what you sound like.
Yes.
Maybe we should push for TNA to sponsor us. And then suddenly, every Thursday night, we're doing Impact reviews.
Here's how I feel about Impact versus NXT. Total Divas is going to air when we're watching Payback. That's how I feel. That's how I can compare the two, I feel.
Actually, that's a pretty good comparison. Running back to Sabu for a second.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Hmm.
He is a New Yorker.
Yes, I remember that now. Thank you for
reminding me. Staten Island, New York.
Yeah.
Here's also what I didn't know. Sabu is not that old.
Oh. So he looked like he's Ric Flair's age, but he's actually only 107.
He's actually 49.
That's interesting. Well,
he turned
50
in December, which sort of makes sense. Here's the thing. He debuted in 1985.
Yeah, that's the issue
21.
Right there. See, that's the issue right
there. He is now turning 50. So when you think, Sabu's at 50, I mean, he could go, but not on a regular schedule. Yeah, he could, arguably. When he debuted at 21. Now, I want you to think about something. We've been talking about Cody Rhodes for the large part of the opening of tonight's show. Cody Rhodes is now, like, what, 28, 29, right?
Yes.
And debuted around, like, when he was 21.
Right.
Imagine Cody Rhodes wrestling another 21 years.
By the way, I think it can work. And here's the thing.
And
with his skill set,
Sabu's extreme, bloody, gory, barbed wire style.
That's why I brought that up, because you have stuff like that, which is kind of funny, because I brought up Sabu this weekend, and I had no reason to bring him up. I didn't know about these rumors yet, which is kind of funny how that kind of, you know, works out in a weird way. But yes,
if you bring up Tommy Dreamer next, we'll find out that he's slowly falling apart.
Slowly. But I feel as if, when you have all that baggage on you, I mean, there's a reason why Hogan, if not for his back, could still technically wrestle a match. You know? Why he wrestled matches for so long, why he wrestled them in TNA in the mid-2000s. Why?
Correct. Jerry Lawler still does matches sometimes.
Well, used to. But when he did go before his heart attack, I will say that he did look good in the ring, honestly. He didn't look bad. You know, because I didn't think of him as doing certain moves anyway. Because in general, I will admit, I didn't see Lawler in his heyday, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't doing Swanton bombs in his heyday. So seeing him, do certain things in the ring, I thought, wow, he can still go. And that's how I feel as if certain people can be. And, yeah, I mean, again, even, you know, a couple years back, I mean, hell, we had Ric Flair as the Intercontinental Champion in 2006, 2007. It's a scary thing to think about, but it happened. So he was wrestling. Meaning that, yeah, guys can go when they get older. But there's a difference between Ric Flair, who has had his fair share of crazy matches, but versus Sabu, who, with Sabu, you have to think, you know, with Flair, you'll think, oh, yeah, that match was hardcore, that was a crazy match, and you'll think, that happens every once in a while. With Sabu, you thought, oh, this match was actually very tame and normal. That's what happened every once in a while.
Yeah, I definitely think, by the way, Sabu was forced to retire from whatever the hell he's still doing now.
Yeah.
I would like to go out there and do, like, a Sabu show, where we just talk about Sabu for a bit. You know, a half-hour show or something. Because this is a guy who's definitely, if you don't know, please look him up. And it's okay if you don't know. Because if you had been a big WWE guy only, you might not know. You know, any of the newer fans, you might not know, and that's okay. He did at one point cross over with WWE when they did the ECW invasion angle, and I think he wrestled a match with Rey Mysterio that knocked them both out.
Yeah.
When he triple-jump moonsaulted them through the announcer tables. It was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and that's Sabu's work style. I mean, he's wrestled matches, and if you don't know, then I'm going to let you in on something, a little secret, not a real secret. And if you do know, then here we are, take the journey with me. He wrestled matches where the entire, you know, set of ring ropes around the ring were replaced with barbed wire.
And I was hoping you'd mention that, and I cringed when you did.
And in his mind, mind you, he would wear poofy pants, so they wouldn't be skin tight, nor would they be, you know, like just you know, tights, like you know, just small kind of underwear.
Right-o.
But this is what he would. So what his idea was: not only should I have my opponent on a table outside the ring, I believe the opponent was wrapped in barbed wire. By the way, he may not have been, but still, the opponent's on the table. The barbed wire is now clear from one side of the ring completely. Why is it clear? Because it's been used during the match. Why is it also clear? Because Sabu is currently wrapping it around himself. Now, Sabu decides, well, I'm not only going to wrap it around, why is he wrapping it around himself, you might ask? He's wrapping it currently around his leg. While there are still pants, you know, it's like, oh, well, they're calling the poofiness. He won't get hurt. He'll get hurt when he runs to do a leg drop on the guy who's currently on the table, who Sabu has currently wrapped himself up with barbed wire.
You ever sit down and, as a kid, when you watch wrestling and you watch ECW and thought, yeah, I can make it more hardcore, and you thought, you know, of your crazy scenarios where the guy wrapped in barbed wire on a table was leg dropped by the guy wrapped in barbed wire? And then you thought to yourself, man, that would be too dangerous. Or, wow, that's really fucking crazy. Yeah, all of your fantasies were probably already done by Sabu.
And they can probably be watched on the network as we continue, hopefully as the network continues and doesn't, you know, hopefully blow any more money.
That's going to be my task for tonight. When I finish, you know, because I've got a lot of stuff to do tonight, and I look forward to the rest of the week, of course, but I will look up Sabu and just see what pops up, because on the PS3, the search function is shit, by the way.
Yes.
Everything else is
there
beautiful.
Isn't that much for Sabu, because obviously, you know, they haven't uploaded a lot of ECW, but they have uploaded at least a good 30 episodes, as well
but
as
one
all
or
of
two
the
matches would be worth it. I mean, he debuted in 1985, so and that was, again, when he was 21. So anything in the 90s of Sabu would probably be a good description of, you know, what we think.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, and I mean, I mean, it's something about ECW where when you're a teenager, when you're that teenager, you know how you were, when you're that teenager and you're like, yeah, ECW, man, yeah. And I don't know, I just feel as if looking back on it, not that I'm that much older even, I look at it in a way where it's entertainment, but I really do feel as if it's a lower form. And I know I'll be crucified for saying it, because I'm not saying that I dislike ECW in any way. In fact, I do want to go back and see everything I can. I mean, it's a beautiful in a way. It's an art form in a way. But I still do feel as if it's a lesser form in the sense that it's just people not caring about their own, you know, their own physical well-being. And you can argue WWE is currently doing that with the way they're overworking their guys, but they are trying to steer clear of everyone being in steel cages every week or something, you know?
So tell me something then, because, you know, we're wrapping things up here, and I want to get into this talk with you now.
Okay.
Are you in the camp that thinks Foley is a bit of a glorified stuntman?
No, I will admit, I will say, okay, the thing is, though, is that with Foley, I feel as if it's just interesting, because I think that he's also really good on the mic, or at the very least good as characters. So I feel as if he does bring something else than, let's say, not that I am dissing Sabu now, but you could say, argue that with Sabu, because I've never really heard him speak on the mic. I've never really heard of Sabu's amazing mic skills, just of all of his stunts and of all of his spots. I wouldn't argue that for Foley, though, because I do feel as if, from what I've seen, Foley can do a lot with... I mean, hell, you know, the man's a stand-up comedian now, and he's doing very well. The man's written books, and they're, you know, and they're doing very well. And he's still making more, and people are still buying, and they're, you know, they're really enjoying
it. So Foley being a specific case that escapes your ire is more what you seem to be describing.
Yes,
but
yes.
Someone
and also,
who worked his style does
and
not...
And also, I'm not even referring to the superstars, I'm referring to the promotion itself, by the way. Just the way that they ran things, where it was just, so, that guy could possibly break his neck. Oh, that's going to be perfect. You know? Where you could... you felt as if they wanted someone to die, because that would be great exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that kind of does make me feel, now as I'm older, and now as I think of, you know, trying to get into wrestling professionally in a way, I think, you know, it's just because even if you and I opened up our own little funny promotion tomorrow, I would never want to do the things that Backyard Wrestling, you know, does and what ECW did. And as you've mentioned, you've agreed. You've said, yes, I don't want to die. You know, and that's the thing, where it's just... I just don't see the need to put yourself through this pain, because there are just as many people who will enjoy, you know, again, there will be elimination chambers, there will be ladder matches, there will be steel cages, there will be Hell in a Cell. I'm not even saying we can't throw someone off of a cell in a weird way now. All I'm saying is that it's just when it's done every week, it's an issue, you know? Especially when, because the thing is, too, by the way, Mick Foley, I think, was the only guy at the time who really would do things like that in WWE, to that extreme. Right?
Well, as we're talking about this, I went to look up some stuff on Sabu, because I remember the match with Rey Mysterio. And I was curious, because they declared it a no contest because both men were unfit to compete. And I remember being confused, because at the time, I couldn't tell if it was a work or not.
Yes.
Because in 2006, he'd signed. He was released from TNA. Sabu was with TNA for a bit, for four years, I think, because he just wanted to keep wrestling, for God's sakes. But 2006, he faced Rey for the World Heavyweight Championship at One Night Stand. They actually did injure themselves to the point where WWE medical staff declared a no contest.
I assumed as much, because it's Rey Mysterio who can injure himself, you know, a lot, and then Sabu who will injure himself but still get up and tape his own wounds. Yes, there's stories of him taping his own wounds up backstage.
Yeah, the sad thing is I'm going to worry to read about certain things, because when he was with WWE, he, with RVD, was arrested and charged with drug paraphernalia, and he had a whole bunch of Vicodin on him.
Yeah.
And ironically, it worries me, because I'm not even going to make an RVD weed joke with drugs, but it's just a matter of, you know, you think about Sabu with Vicodin, and it makes sense, doesn't it?
And the scary thing
is, he's with Juggalo Championship Wrestling now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
ECW Arena, I mean, he recently has wrestled in Pro Wrestling Holland. I mean, he's basically just wrestled where he can. And
sadly, I'm going to have to... Yes, please. I'm going to have to cut this short, even though we can go about this all day. And I still want to mention, I still think I want to watch old ECW. There isn't a thing that says to me, no, we can't, we shouldn't, it's this and that, it's barbaric. No, it happened. You know, it happened.
It's done and over with. And I will go back
and
watch some of it with you.
And I'm sure there's some other promotions in the air, even in New York, that do that. It's just, it's not my thing, I think, to be a part of it now. In the present. But anyway, we'd like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Please like us on Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio. If you're looking through the URL, and if you're just searching for us in the search bar, Those Guys. We do a lot of different things. You know, tomorrow we'll be doing some comic books. Satish Ram won't be with us. Thursday we may even be doing NXT TakeOver, but that is up in the air. And, you know, of course, on Sunday we'll be doing Payback. So, you know, definitely, you know, keep up with us. And I guess I will be playing us out. But again, we'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. The song may go into the archive. And if it does, please listen, because it's going to be a really good song, whatever it may be. Let us listen. Shall we?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!